relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, where we have an opportunity to go deep dive, not a three-minute hit as we have on the TV. We actually get to talk for a whole hour with a newsmaker, with an expert, somebody who you need to hear from today. It's somebody I consider, full disclosure, to be a personal friend, somebody who will give us the inside story on just how the law enforcement of the United States at the federal level is being weaponized for political purposes, not to fight crime, but to serve the political purposes of one political party. He is Brandon Stracker from the Walk Away Movement. Brandon, welcome back to America First. It's been far too long.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, so we have to talk about the trauma that you've gone through in the last year, why you happen to be wearing an ankle tracker right now, what you've suffered since the events of January 6th. But for those who are unfamiliar with the Walk Away movement and with your story, will you walk us through your political awakening in the last few years?
Sure. Yeah. Transition. Yeah. So I was a lifelong liberal and a two-time Obama voter, Hillary Clinton supporter in 2016. Honestly, just something that I called myself a Democrat by default because I'm a gay man. And as a member of a minority community, typically the messaging that we receive is that the only choice that there is no choice, that you have to be a Democrat, you have to be a liberal. And so that was the camp that I fell into. And it was after the election of 2016, in which the media that I trusted, sources like CNN and MSNBC and The New York Times, et cetera, kept saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide, that Donald Trump had a 3% chance of winning, and that he was a bigot and a racist, et cetera. So when he won, I was shocked and confused and outraged and scared. And it kind of sent me on this journey to try to understand several things. Number one, why would anyone support Donald Trump? And number two, how did the media that I trusted get this so wrong? And so I started watching videos and reading stories and listening to conservative voices. And this was over the course of months throughout 2017.
So basically, you decided to do some due diligence for yourself and research how this happened.
Yes. Yeah. And start trying to understand because I found it hard to reconcile that half of the country was covertly bigoted and racist and homophobic. You know, I was living in New York City at the time, and I was just like, how could it be that I'm getting on the subway, people are smiling and waving and, you know, being nice to one another, but behind each other's backs, there's all this secret racism and hatred? It just doesn't make sense to me. And so I started researching that. And what I ultimately discovered over the course of months was that the media that I trusted was the problem, not Donald Trump or Donald Trump's supporters. And so over the course of that year, I ended up ultimately walking away from the Democratic Party, from the ideology of liberalism and from the liberal media. Eventually, I became a Trump supporter and a Republican. But the next year, I started a movement called the Walkaway Campaign.
We'll talk about Walkaway in a second. But was there some specific story? Was there something that you'd been lied to about, which was, you know, the last straw that made you say, I'm waking up now, this isn't true? Or was it just the full court press of the propaganda?
Well, it was a combination of those two things, but I would say the straw that broke the camel's back for me was, as I was going down this sort of journey of research and I was beginning that, I was still having moments of outrage and anger about Donald Trump's election. So I was in the process of educating myself, but I remember I put a post out on social media several months after he was elected, in which I said that I would never be able to understand how anyone could vote for a man who was capable of mocking a disabled reporter in front of a cheering crowd. And that's when one of his supporters reached out to me privately with a video that was entitled "Debunking That Trump Mocked the Disabled Reporter," which was a video that clearly showed that this was a voice and a gesture that Donald Trump did all of the time when he was imitating anybody who was caught in a lie or doing something shady or dishonest. It had nothing to do with that reporter's disability. But again, the media that I trusted, like CNN, et cetera, saw the opportunity to say, ah, this looks like he's making fun of that guy's disability. Never mind the fact that we know that he does this voice and gesture all the time. Let's put that story forward. And that was the moment that started to really open my eyes to the dishonesty of the liberal media and the ways in which they manipulate people's emotions with these false narratives. That was the start of it.
All right, we're talking to Brandon Straka. The website is brandonstraka.com, S-T-R-A-K-A. And then talk to us about your organization, the Walk Away Campaign. What did it represent, and why did you create it?
Yeah. So I started Walk Away in May of 2018. I launched it as a social media movement, essentially at first, by creating a 6-minute video where I detailed all of the reasons why I was walking away from the Democratic Party. And I encouraged other people to join the Facebook group that I had created called the Walk Away Campaign and make their own videos and tell their own stories about why they were walking away from the Democratic Party as well, or liberalism, leftism, progressivism, socialism, whatever, whatever you want to call it. And over the course of the next few years, this movement exploded, and we had over 500,000 people that had joined the Facebook group, created walkaway videos or written testimonials, and Facebook ultimately banned the group in January of 2021. So we ended up losing that community temporarily. But over the course of those years, it became much more than a social media movement. We created a nonprofit, the Walkaway Foundation, a super PAC, the Walkaway Campaign super PAC. And we started traveling around the country doing minority-focused events. We started doing rallies, marches, video content. So this has really become an incredible organization, the Walkaway organization. And we're going to be relaunching it this year after going through this harrowing year that I just went through. We have some really amazing new things, including our own social community. We'll be launching Walkaway Social this year, an autonomous platform to bring that community and those testimonials back.
That's very, very exciting. When you were banned on social media, what did the likes of, if you're just giving personal testimony as to why you left a political party, were you given any reason as to why you had to be unpersoned, Brandon?
We actually had to hire an attorney, and a very powerful attorney, in Harmeet Dhillon, to put a lot of pressure on Facebook just to be able to even get an answer as to why this happened. Now, they banned the Walkaway Campaign on January 8th of 2021. So this would have been 2 days after January 6th. What's interesting is that it actually had nothing whatsoever to do with me being present on Capitol grounds on January 6th, because at that point, no, I hadn't been arrested, and no one even really realized that I was there. What happened is that social media companies like Facebook, like Twitter, et cetera, began doing mass bannings of many conservative individuals and conservative accounts. And Walkaway was one of the groups that got the axe. When we pressed through our attorney, Facebook, to get an understanding of why, what Facebook responded was that they were mass banning accounts that they believed or had suspicion of believing were involved in QAnon activity. We went back to them and said, Walkaway has nothing to do with QAnon. No one who started Walkaway is a QAnon follower. We're not QAnon subscribers. This, you've made a mistake. And they said, tough, that's the situation where you're banned, you're not coming back.
Then, of course, January 6th is the cause of the incredible year that you've suffered through, Brandon. We're going to talk about it in detail, but when did you realize that you were in trouble with the politically motivated law enforcement of the United States?
On Monday, January 25th, 2021, when an FBI SWAT team came into my apartment at the crack of dawn, put me in handcuffs, and told me that they were taking me to jail on felony charges.
Do you have a criminal record? Have you used violence in the past? Is there anything to justify the use of that kind of intimidation against you when you are raided at your home, Brandon?
I have no criminal record whatsoever. And for anybody who is paying any kind of attention or doing any kind of research, what they would find is that my message consistently for 3 to 4 years before I was arrested was that my movement is an attempt to unify this country, to bring peace and civility back into political discourse, and to try to unify this nation. So I actually represent quite the opposite, I'd say, of a violent anarchist attitude. Whereas if you juxtapose that with something like, say, the Black Lives Matter movement or Antifa, those people seem to get off scot-free when they actually are encouraging and committing violence.
Well, I would be happy to stand in a court of law as a character witness to you. I know nothing about you that would be a threat to the United States. On the contrary, you're a person who celebrates what our nation represents. We're talking to Brandon Stracker. This is America First One-on-One. His website is brandonstracker.com, and you can follow him and his postings on Twitter at Brandon Stracker. That's Straka. If you want to have content like this on your phone, on your iPad every single day, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast for free. Wherever you get your podcasts, for example, go to Spotify, look for My Name Sebastian Gorka, look for America First, subscribe today, and you will never miss a minute. Do us a review, share the links, and you will never miss any one of our interviews. If you haven't done so already, can I please encourage you to register for our Stand With Israel tour this November, December. We are traveling to the Middle East with my good Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie for the trip of a lifetime. We're going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, places you've only read about in the Bible. We're going to be there. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your seats today. Call 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Standwithisraeltour.com. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory-compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
We're talking to Brandon Stracker of the Walkaway Movement, hashtag Walkaway. What's the t-shirt you're wearing, Brandon?
This is from the Walkaway Unsilent March, the Unsilent Majority March on Washington that we did in October of 2020. It says Unsilent, hashtag Unsilent, hashtag Walkaway.
I love it. Hashtag Unsilent. Okay, so your house, your apartment was raided a couple of weeks after the January 6th riot. What happened to you then? Walk us through the story, and what were you charged with?
Sure. So I the first thing I want to say is that I was actually scheduled to be a speaker in Washington, D.C. on January 6th at the Capitol. A lot of people, because of the gross misreporting on this event, don't really even realize that there was always supposed to be an event scheduled at the Capitol after President Trump spoke at the Ellipse. There were dozens of speakers scheduled to speak. I was one of them. And so after President Trump and quite clearly stated that we needed to peacefully march and peacefully assemble at the Capitol, I went to the Capitol en route to my speaking engagement. And as I was getting nearer the Capitol grounds, I started to get text messages from people I knew who were at home watching on television or hearing in the news that people were going inside the building.
So you were walking there, it sounds like, whilst the president was still speaking, correct?
No, I actually stayed until the very end of the president speaking. And I was lucky enough to have an amazing seat right in the front row. So I was actually one of the very last people to leave the ellipse.
Okay. So the violence is already started, or, you know, people have walked into the building. You have stayed for the whole speech, which started late and ran long. I was there as well. So you're getting these texts about what's happening. You don't know anything yet. Tell me what happens next, Brandon.
Well, I would estimate it was somewhere around 2:20, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time when I began getting messages telling me that people were watching at home. They're saying, we're hearing that people are going inside. I was at that point very close to the Capitol, probably a 10-minute walk on my way. So when I heard this, I didn't really understand what it meant. And some of the other speakers were messaging me and saying, is our event still happening? Is it not happening? What's going on? We're hearing all these things. So it was people were very confused. So I started shooting my video when I was about three blocks away from the Capitol. And that's not my footage right now, just to be clear. But I was shooting my video as I was walking onto the Capitol grounds on the east side.
So you just got your phone out and started filming?
Yes, yes. And what I was witnessing on my video was just people very calm and peaceful on the Capitol grounds, milling about, no unusual energy whatsoever. And my video, just so people know, if Mark Levin did an incredible interview with me last week where we actually went through my video moment by moment. And if anybody wants to see it, they can go to Mark Levin's YouTube channel at Levin TV YouTube channel and watch the video that I'm describing right now as we went through it. So I walked onto the grounds, and what you'll notice in my video is that there were no police officers present. There were no barricades that were closed. There were no traffic tape or cones or anything. Nobody was standing there saying, you're not allowed to be here, get off the grounds. So I walked onto the grounds, and again, this very kind of calm, peaceful atmosphere. And then I walked up toward the east side of the Capitol building. Now, why this is relevant,
but you're still outside Congress, correct? You're not inside the building.
I never went inside the building.
So this is crucial. So you're outside and you never took down a barrier. You never stepped over a cordon or some police tape. And then you said you're on the east side, correct?
Yes, sir.
Go carry on.
So the reason why this is relevant to me, I think it's very important, is because, again, with the misreporting surrounding January 6th, one would believe that every single person who was at the Capitol witnessed all of the violence and all of the activity and still made the choices that they made. And nothing could be further from the truth. As far as I know, the majority, if not all, of the violence and window smashing and barrier breaking and things like that that took place on that day happened exclusively on the west side of the building.
I'm really glad you're talking about this, because this is the peculiarity of January the 6th, the almost schizophrenic reality that on three sides of the building, you've got people singing hymns, you've got people praying, you've got people, saying the national anthem, singing the national anthem. And then the other side, you've got this small group of people that use it. On one side, people are just walking in, being escorted by the police through the velvet ropes. And then there's this small violence occurring on the opposite side of the building with people actually breaking windows and so forth. So two very different realities on the same day at the same time, Brandon.
Exactly right. And what's so unfortunate about that is that any person who was arrested for being on the north or south or east side of the building very likely had no idea whatsoever that that was taking place on the west side. That was my experience. I had no clue that people were smashing windows or, shoving into police officers or doing any of those things as I was walking onto the east side. I did ascend the east side stairs, and as I was walking up the stairs, there was a man holding his hat in his hand. This is on the video, pointing down to or motioning down to the people below, saying, they've opened the doors. They're letting us in. We're going inside. We're going inside. At that point, I proceeded up to the top of the east side steps. In my video, you see that the metal doors on the east side were both open, and there's a crowd of people kind of standing shoulder to shoulder. I certainly would not describe it as a stampede or a crazed mob or anything like that. I mean, it was a lot of people standing together. Some of them were trying to make their way inside. Some of them were not. And I held my camera above my head and I began filming what I was seeing.
From the outside of the building, correct?
I never went inside the building. I never went inside. I was never accused of going inside the building. So I never got within 20 feet of going inside of the Capitol on the east side of the building. Again, where nobody's smashing windows or you know, engaging in egregious acts of violence or anything like that on the east side. I'm just standing there filming as the doors are already open.
And are you live streaming or are you filming this to post later? What's your intention?
Great question. I was filming this to post later because I think most people who do what I do, which is, you know, a lot of social media videos and documentation of things that are happening, you know that if you're in a gigantic crowd like that, thousands and thousands of people, you're not going to get a good cell signal.
You can't. I mean, this is exactly why you read my mind. When you're in a Trump rally, you can't you can't even stream. You can barely text people because there's so many people using the limited number of cell phone towers that a live stream is out of the question. We're going to continue this because we want to get the facts out there because the legacy lying media won't, and we need to help this man. He's Brandon Stracker, the founder of the Walk Away movement, the Walk Away campaign. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Brandon, so you're there, you're filming for later use. How does the rest of your day develop?
Well, to address one more time the question that you asked, which was a great question about live streaming versus recording, to me, that's also an incredibly relevant detail because, number one, it's been misreported and lied many times in the press that I was live streaming my criminal activity because I was so proud of what I was doing. Well, first of all, I wasn't live streaming. I was recording with an intention to create an edited video that I would put out later. And the reason, again, that this is so relevant to me is because what this would imply is that I intentionally and knowingly broke all of these different laws and did all of these terrible things and then made a conscious choice to go back to my hotel an hour or two later and upload the evidence of my criminal activity for my hundreds of thousands of followers on social media under the assumption that my conservative audience is going to love this. My conservative audience is going to love watching me break the law. You know, I mean, it's insanity.
Right. So, no, but I mean, this is the same logic. The bank robber films himself robbing the bank without a mask on so that he can later upload his identity and the evidence of the crime he committed. That's what we're talking about.
Right. So I stood outside of the building on the steps for 8 minutes, and I filmed this footage of some people trying to walk inside through the open doors. At the end of the 8 minutes, a man comes outside of the Capitol. He was a protester, as far as I know, and he got on a bullhorn and he said, "They've cleared Congress. Everyone's left the building. Clear out, everybody, clear out." And at that moment, I immediately turned around, left. This is all on the video. And I encouraged the people behind me to also leave the area.
Because
this man had come out of the building and he basically was saying there's no reason to be here anymore. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I just sort of took that directive and I turned around and I said, "They're telling people to clear out, clear out."
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I went down the steps and I started interviewing people on the outer grounds for about 20 minutes or so, just asking them, you know, why were you here? What brought you to D.C., et cetera. Again, my intention was going to be to go back to my hotel and create an edited video package to put out to just sort of document what I had seen. And I went back to my hotel after that. I uploaded the 10-minute video that I had shot. And I had said something along the lines of, you know, this was the scene that I witnessed today on the east side of the Capitol. And it was several hours after that I began seeing on the news footage of what had happened on the west side of the building. And I was shocked. I mean, I was really shocked because it was so different than what I had experienced on the other side.
So you had no knowledge of the violence that had occurred?
No, not while I was on the grounds. This is the thing. I was probably one of the last people in the country to see what had happened because I didn't see it when I was there. And it took me a good amount of time to get back to my hotel. And then it was an hour or two after I was at my hotel before I turned on the TV and I was like, what is that? And I had already uploaded my video to Twitter at that point. So when I saw what had happened on the west side, I gained this awareness that, okay, this is much bigger and much more than what I saw on the east side of the building. Now I'm feeling embarrassed that I uploaded my video because I know people are not going to draw that distinction and understand that I was somewhere else while that was happening somewhere else. So I just took the video down. And I believe I made a comment or two about, you know, I didn't have all the facts when I uploaded my video. I'm going to shut my mouth until I understand what the full story is here. And honestly, I thought that was the end of the matter.
Because, and let's be clear here, you had no knowledge of what had occurred on the other side of Congress. You never entered Congress. And you had no cognizance of any crimes that were committed. And also, nothing on the video that you actually recorded showed any crimes being committed. So I want to make sure everything is on the record because you have been, my friend, politically persecuted. And we have to make sure that all of these facts are out there in the public domain. We're talking to Brandon Stracker. Please follow him on Twitter at Brandon Stracker and Brandon Stracker. Stracker.com. That's BrandonStracker. Okay, Brandon, let's talk about what has happened in the year since September the 6th. What happened to you and how did you end up with, you know, police raiding your home and today wearing an ankle tracker?
Well, so the video that I had posted, I put on Twitter and I took it down within like an hour or 2 hours after posting it. But that was still enough time that some of my Twitter trolls and haters had copied the video. And so they were reposting the video that I had shot in mass and tagging the FBI and telling the FBI that they needed to come and arrest me. I was getting annoyed about it and I was getting frustrated that this was going on for 2.5 weeks, but I didn't actually believe that I would somehow be a person of interest to the FBI in this situation. Ultimately, what ended up happening was a family member of mine called the FBI, sent them a link to the video that had been reposted by one of my Twitter trolls. And then 2.5 weeks after January 6th, on Monday, January 25th of 2021, I woke up to the sound of pounding on my door. Boom, 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 boom. And I shot out of bed and my first thought was, oh my God, the FBI actually really did come to my house. So I went running to my door and I said, who's on the other? Yeah, who's out there? And a voice said, FBI, open up. I opened the door, and within 30 seconds, I was turned around and handcuffed, my hands behind my back. They told me I was facing multiple felony charges for my activities at the Capitol. And they presented me with a search warrant to search and seize my property. And at that point, a team of, I'd say around 8 or 9 agents came into my apartment, began stripping my apartment of my computers, my tablets, my phone, hard drives, thumb drives, my camera, clothing, you name it. And I was taken to from my apartment, put in a black car and taken to a jail cell where I sat in jail in 24-hour lockdown for several days before I was finally able to see a judge. And that's when I found out that I was being charged by the United States government with multiple felonies and a misdemeanor for being outside of the Capitol on January 6th for 8 minutes.
And what are the felonies? Are these trespass? What is the nature of the charges?
Okay, so the first felony was knowingly occupying restricted grounds. The second felony, which I'll explain in a moment, was impeding an officer in the line of duty. And the third charge, which is a misdemeanor, was disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. And so when I was quite confused when I got out of jail about some of these charges. And the explanation that I was given was that on my video, there is a moment that lasts about 6 seconds where a police officer comes outside of the Capitol. One officer, he comes out near the doorway and somebody near the doorway grabs his plastic shield away from him. several people in the crowd start chanting, you know, take his shield, take his whatever. And essentially the charge against me was that I was one of the people encouraging the crowd to take the shield from the police officer. Ultimately, that charge ended up getting dropped, as well as the felony charge of knowingly occupying restricted grounds. But I did end up accepting a plea deal in which I pled guilty to the misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds.
Why and what was the substance of the disorderly conduct that they had posited you had partaken in?
Well, the reason why I decided to take a plea deal, which I understand, believe me, one of the most frustrating things in the world are people who are openly critical about my choice and say, why would you plead guilty to something? Why would you do why? And it's like, I don't think people understand when you're an individual with the might of the federal government coming after you with all of their resources, they have unlimited money, they have unlimited power, they have unlimited funds. And this is the most politically charged case possibly in American history, where you've got one part of the government, a partisan government coming after their political opponents. And it was terrifying, not to mention the fact that I wanted to move on with my life. I wanted to get back to work. I wanted to put this behind me. I wanted to try to move forward. So when they essentially came to me and said, if you plead guilty to this misdemeanor charge, the felony charges will be dropped. And here's the story. Essentially, what they said was that the disorderly nature of my behavior was they put a lot of emphasis on the fact that I'm a conservative influencer, that I have a large audience. And essentially the theory, I guess I would say, is that my presence was an encouragement to the people around me to attack the Capitol. But again, there's no nuance really in these Capitol riot cases. They're not saying, well, this person was on this side and this person was on this side and this person didn't really know and this person didn't really know. Everyone is essentially being treated as an insurrectionist or a terrorist. If you were there, you could be charged with jaywalking. You could be charged with whatever.
So, but I want to be clear here. You documented on video, and the unedited version of what you recorded, there's no moment where you say, let's go, guys, or yes, take his shield. So they're charging you with mystical incitement simply because you have a lot of followers?
Well, so at this point, I cannot really get into that territory that you're talking about right now, but I can tell you with the plea deal that I signed, there are things that definitely they are asserting that I said and did, and that's all documented in my plea agreement.
Okay. And the misdemeanor, I mean, how are you wearing an ankle tracker for a misdemeanor charge?
Well, so this really all started a year ago. So bear in mind, it was over a year ago now that the FBI put me in jail. I spent several days in jail. I then was on a year of pretrial supervision. And after that year of pretrial supervision, I finally got to the point of being sentenced in my case. This was continued five times, and my sentencing was pushed back five times. And so when I finally was now sentenced just several weeks ago, and in my sentencing, I was sentenced to 3 months of house arrest, 3 years of probation, 60 hours of community service, the maximum fine of $5,000, and I was ordered to pay $500 restitution to the Capitol. Although it was acknowledged that I didn't do any damage or violence to the Capitol or destruction of any kind. So in this weird way, even though I went to jail over a year ago for this, it's almost like I'm being punished again. So I'm right now on house arrest.
3 years of probation for a misdemeanor. I mean, if there is no other evidence incontrovertible of politically motivated persecution, then that's it right there. We're talking to Brandon Stracker, the founder of the Walkaway Movement, the Walkaway Campaign. It's brandonstracker.com, Brandon Stracker on Twitter. Okay, I could have this discussion for hours with you, Brandon. When we last spoke, I really was worried for you because you seemed very alone. I'm glad you look good.
Thank you.
Clearly,
you're
not giving up. You're back on social media. You're going to create this new social platform. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but is it true that there are conservative media outlets that tried to stop you or invited you to come on and then didn't want you to come on? I'm going to have the link to the video with Mark Levin, and God bless Mark. But how have you been received by the let's say, legacy conservative media?
Well, I mean, it's been very surprising to me at this point that this is not a story that they want to tell. You know, so far in the last week or 2 weeks, I've had opportunities to tell my story on Newsmax, on OAN. I've spoken with RSBN. I think there's something coming up there. Blaze TV. Mark was, Mark was the very first person to interview me, and we ended up putting that out on Blaze. I guess what I would say on the matter is that the interview that I did with Mark was originally supposed to be on network television, and that ended up getting pulled several days before the interview.
Fox Network pulled the interview with you, and then God bless Mark Levin, he did the interview on Blaze. Is that correct?
I'm not saying that, but okay. Something like that.
Sure. Okay, good, fine. We just want to make sure that our millions of listeners understand. Okay, so open up, if you will. So we've now recorded this for the world. This is now Brandon's story. We need to stand with you, Brandon. Go to brandonstracker.com. Let's ask the big question. What is the so what of the last year for you? What conclusions? I can't even begin to understand what it means that a family member dimed you out to the FBI for committing no crime. But what lessons have you drawn? Because clearly you're not giving up, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, if anything, I think that this experience has only sort of redoubled my passion and my desire to fight back against what I consider to be government overreach, government tyranny, and the power of the federal government to oppress an individual and really use that power, I think, to torment them, intimidate them, bully them. It's quite insane. And again, I want to make really clear here. There's this weird energy that, you know, when I'm doing these interviews, the people interviewing me are like, you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. I want to be clear. I'm not even saying that I did nothing wrong. You know, there are things that I did that day that I certainly could have done differently and could have done better. But my message
hang on. And I appreciate that candor. But you didn't break a window. You didn't trespass in the building. You didn't commit crimes as a lay person understands them.
I would say that that is true. I don't want to come across as somebody, because there are people, there are, I think, even conservatives. I think there are conservatives who love me, who might watch my video and say, you know, maybe you should have gotten out of there at a certain point, or maybe you should have been. And I totally understand that, because my position is not that my behavior was perfect or that I made every right choice on that day. But my message here overwhelmingly is that there are hundreds of people, I would say the vast majority of people, who have been arrested and charged for January 6th, whose crimes are nonviolent. They're misdemeanors. Most of them are parading or trespassing or even not even being inside the building, but being outside on the grounds, the restricted grounds, as they're saying. But everyone is expected to shoulder this equal burden of being a terrorist or being an insurrectionist or an equal participant in trying to overthrow the government or overthrow democracy, when in fact most people, I believe, were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And would have made a different choice in retrospect if they had the opportunity. Now, what I think is really kind of most scary and a little bit terrifying about this is, for someone like myself, who's a well-known political figure, I've appeared on cable, conservative cable news, hundreds of times over the last couple of years. But people are very scared to give me an opportunity to even tell my story on a nonviolent misdemeanor charge. This is after a year of being investigated by the FBI and the DOJ. They decided that they were comfortable charging me with a nonviolent misdemeanor, but still I'm struggling to get my story out because people are so afraid of what the left will do to them if they allow someone to humanize their experience about what happened on January 6th. So this is very scary to me, because I don't even feel like I really have the support of the power of the conservative media. Overwhelmingly, I'm very grateful to people like you, grateful to people like Mark and numerous other people who've given me opportunities. But I'm a little bit scared to be speaking out because I feel like, well, what if they watch my interviews and they decide that they want to punish me again and they want to punish me again? They've already made me disappear for a year and no one said anything. I feel, well, you know, so sort of like.
Well, look, you need to get your story out. You need to write your story down. I'm happy to stay on the line and discuss with you, connect you to my publisher. But look, and I'm not giving you advice, but I'll just tell you, you know, Solzhenitsyn said it, you know, almost 100 years ago. He said, all it takes for the tyranny to fall is for one man to start telling the truth. That's all it takes. You know, that is the catalytic moment. And I understand that, you know, people are afraid. I get it. But when you stand up there, when somebody stands up there and says no, okay, when that Chinese, the shopping bag man on Tiananmen Square says no, then that can have an effect that ripples down the ages and across a whole civilization. So Brandon, don't give up. Last thing I'd like to ask you is your future plan. So tell us what this has meant to you going forward. Talk about your social platform. So I'd like to give you an opportunity now to look forward.
Thank you. And that is what I'm going to do. I have no desire to dwell on January 6th or what's happened in the rearview mirror. I am looking forward. And to me, looking forward means that we're going to start rebuilding and relaunching the Walkaway organization. You know, the key element to this movement is that it provided a platform for people to come together and to tell their own stories. And that was taken away by Facebook. But at the end of the day, I say shame on me for building the movement on Facebook in the first place. We always knew that at some point they would come and pull the rug out from underneath us, and they did. So what we're doing now is we're building an autonomous social platform that we will own called Walkaway Social, which we're going to launch in the coming months this year. It'll be connected to walkawaycampaign.com. Every level of this social platform is built and hosted and served by freedom-loving conservatives who are against cancel culture. We're not using any leftist platforms or organizations or companies at any level. This is going to be what we believe to be a completely cancel-proof platform to bring that Walkaway community back. We're also relaunching the Walkaway campaign super PAC to provide an activism platform for people from coast to coast. Even if you've never done activism in your life, even if you're not mobile and you can't get outside your house, we're providing tools to people where they can be involved from their own home, from their own computers. And we're going to get back out there and waking people up, waking up minority communities and getting people to see that the Democrat Party, that the ideology of liberalism, that progressivism, socialism, leftism is toxic and cancerous for our country. It's time for people to walk away.
Yeah, I'll close on this. Your experience, everything you've suffered, is proof that you are doing the right thing and that walk away is more important than ever. Whether it's COVID, whether it's the mask mandates, whether it's the racism of CRT in schools, whether it's the Emergency Powers Act being used against the working class truck drivers of Canada, walk away will be more important and more powerful than ever. He's Brandon Stracker. Follow him, BrandonStracker.com. God bless you. You have my support always. This is America First. You've been listening to One on One with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of President Trump. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make a... America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
So I don't want to get too much into those details, but these were intelligence reports, and it brings up a lot of concerns about, you know, whether things were properly minimized or not. But I will tell you, I've only seen some. It's in the dozens. But I don't have, we don't have the full scope of all the intelligence reports that were produced, or who ordered the unmasking of additional names.
A truly, truly historic press conference. Devin Nunes, former head of the House Intelligence Committee, talking outside the West Wing of the White House. We will be joined by Devin Nunes in the second segment of the first hour. You do not want to miss a nanosecond of today's show. We're going to be talking about the latest revelations, how serious the state of basically the corruption of the national security system in America is. We have the new addition to the Sussman indictment. This is Sebastian Gorka. You're listening to America First. And there's a part of this document that dropped on Super Bowl Friday that most people have missed. And it is a true nuclear bombshell. On the face of it, this document is a very dry motion by the government. This is the official title. Motion to inquire into potential conflicts of interest. So the person, Michael Sussman, who has been indicted by John Durham in his investigations into the genesis of the fake Russia hoax against President Trump, his lawyers are, well, they're in a rather difficult position, and they may have a conflict of interest given past work that they did for Democrat clients. So this is a kind of request to the judge to look into the fact that the indicted individual's lawyers may not be actually able to represent him impartially in a court of law. Sounds a bit technical, doesn't it? The important thing is what happens on page 3 of this memo to the judge. In it, the special counsel, John Durham, gives the reason for his indictments. He talks of a specific tech executive number one, who was using experts in the internet to target and spy upon a handful of specific targets, and they are enumerated in this memorandum to the court. The first target is a specific healthcare provider. We have no information as to why somebody in the pay of the Hillary campaign, somebody working with Michael Sussman, who is a lawyer for Perkins Coie that was working for Hillary's presidential campaign, why they need sensitive internet information about a healthcare provider. But there it is. And John Durham clearly has some information that makes him very clear about who these private actors were targeting. The second target of this internet espionage was Trump Tower, the headquarters of the Trump Organization, and in 2015 and 2016, also the headquarters of the Trump campaign. So, private espionage into the headquarters of Mr. Trump's company and future President Trump's campaign. Third, shocking enough by itself, is the surveillance electronically of President Trump's Central Park West apartment building. Not just his apartment building. And then the first bombshell, and it's only one of two massive, scandalous drops of information last Friday. The fourth target of this so-called tech executive, we know his name, I'll give it to you momentarily, is the Executive Office of the President of the United States, technically the EOP. That abbreviation actually means the home to more than six agencies that serve the president, including the National Security Council. Yes, this individual, this tech executive, was targeting the White House, including the office of the president, the office of the vice president, and the National Security Council. In and of itself, utterly scandalous. This makes Watergate look utterly and completely irrelevant. But it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, if it were, then Russia would know all of our secrets. Iran would know all of our secrets. Al-Qaeda and ISIS would know all of our secrets. How does this portly middle-aged gentleman, whose name is Rodney Joffe, Tech Executive One, that is his name, it's not classified, this is the individual that is central to the Sussman indictment. I will say his name again, Rodney Joffe. How does he even think that he can penetrate the communications of the most secure building in the world? Trust me, I worked there. I had an all-access blue pass as deputy to the president. But I got it because I was vetted. I had to fill out an SF-86 form multiple times for my top secret SCI clearance. Even when I went into an NSC secure facility, one of the presidential situation rooms, I, as a deputy to the president, had to leave both of my phones, my personal phone and my White House phone, in a locked cabinet outside of the secure facility, because that's how secure the White House is. Deputies to the president don't walk in there with their phones. That's the kind of thing that Huma Abedin does when she's working for Hillary Clinton in the State Department. So how does a private tech company break into the White House and the Trump campaign? Well, it's in the next sentence, and this is what everybody missed. Now, it's legalistic jargon, but I'll translate it for you. It is swamp speak, but I'll tell you what it really means. The very next sentence, after they say they were surveilling the White House, Tech Executive One's employer, so that's Rodney Joffe's employer, Internet Company One, had come to access and maintain dedicated servers for the EOP. In English, this private tech company had access and maintained dedicated servers for the White House as part of a, quote, sensitive arrangement whereby it provided domain name system resolution services to the EOP. In English, this company was given by somebody in the U.S. government direct access to the White House's cyber internet systems. Why? So they wouldn't have to steal those secrets. So they wouldn't have to break into President Trump's secure servers maintained by the intelligence community, because they controlled them, because somebody in the deep state had given them direct access as part of a private contract. I never ever want to hear the word Whitewater again from anybody's lips, because this is a scandal of the ages. This is a scandal that brings down a whole government and a whole political party, and it's not the Republicans.
Z
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.